epistle to the Ephesians, second chapter. I read from verse 1, and I'm really going to verse 6. So I think I need to go to verse 7 to finish a sentence. Hear the word of God. "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, we're going to verse 6 again. That's what we did last week, and we need to go to the remainder of that verse. I'll read all the verse first of all. Well, no, it's just verse 6, sorry. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." If you remember, last week we had 5 and 6. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace he hath saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, let us look very carefully at every word. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." If you just think now what he's saying, we're with him in the resurrection, we're with him also where he is, and that is in the heavenly places. So if you can take that, you'll see the theme that's coming. It's a little bit complicated maybe, but I made the notes a long time ago, and I trust that they will be clear now. The sentence, "and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now consider the doctrine. A Christian is a person who is in Christ. That's your key phrase. A person who is in Christ. That is, we are immersed in Christ. And when the word baptism is used here, it means an immersion into the very person of Christ. A Christian is a person who is in Christ. That it is a spiritual relationship which is mysterious, and yet we can see something of its reality as well. So somebody asks you, where are you? Where's your position spiritually? I am in Christ, not an admirer of Christ, not standing by his side, not all those various things we can say, but my position is that I am in Christ. We are as one. That is a position of the Christian. One area found in him, his righteousness. In him, identification. This is a spiritual union. Let's be very clear on that. This is a spiritual union. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, I'll be quoting many verses. "For by the Spirit are we baptized into one body." Now, we're talking there of this immersion in Christ. "For by the Spirit are we immersed, baptized, into one body." In John 14, verse 20, "Ye in me, and I in you." That's the relationship. In John 15, "The vine and the branches." That is, you have the main stem and the branches, and the same sap in both. The great events, what was physically true of our Lord, now this is the difference, is spiritually true of the Christian. What is physically true of him is spiritually true of the Christian. Now, A, in his death. We are in Christ in his death. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So we are one with him there. B, in his burial. Romans 6:2. Therefore ye are buried with him by baptism into his death. And also ascension and resurrection, Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So we have the resurrection, the ascension, Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. E, his reign, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. F, his glory, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, those, I've just named them again. His death, within him there. His burial, within him there. His resurrection, his ascension, his reign, and his glory. Now, in all those things, where are we? We are spiritually with him in the things that happen to him. There is a limitation. Our Lord retains a personal distinction. We do not possess his attributes. That's a big difference. Otherwise, we are found in him. Now, quickened, he brought us and established this union. Teaching insists that that this truth are true of us now. This position in Christ is true of you now. That's where you are. You are quickened and has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We have been raised and are seated with him now, but for us spiritually. Our position now is on the right hand of the Father, quickened with him now. So really, from the time of spiritual activity in us, we are in every situation with him, physically that he goes through, but we go through it spiritually. We are found in him, an identification apart from his attributes. Now then, that is our position. Now, in the heavenlies, 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places in Christ. Now, here is a very interesting statement by Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, I want to raise you up to see who you are, where you are, and always will be. And in 2 Corinthians 12:2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Now then, he's speaking of himself, an experience he had, so I'll go carefully through this. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, that there was an experience that he had that took him to the third heaven. So the teaching at that time was this. There were three. There was the atmosphere. Then the second heaven was the stars. Then the third was a God manifestation and the place of his glory. So the atmosphere about us, then the stars, and then also higher in the presence of God himself. This is where the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body now dwells. He dwells in the third heaven, using the term meaning 1, 2, 3, the atmosphere, the stars, then in a region beyond our understanding or knowledge, there dwells God, and there is Christ in his glorified body. Now, in the, what they call here now the heavenly places. As a result of our regeneration being brought to life, union, we belong to this third heaven, the heavenlies, spiritually. We belong there now. So can you see why we are an extraordinary people? You know, there's something far greater has happened to us than we can put into words or into a hymn or into anything, really. But we have to see it. We belong to the third heaven, the heavenlies. Consider the implications of this. Now, firstly, the past of the sinner and its sorrows, a great change, a sense that the strangers to this world, man confined to this world, sinful limitations at best and worst. We live in this present evil age, that's where we live. The Christian is in this world, but not of this world. He's of the heavenlies, all right? He's in this world physically, but spiritually, he's in the heavenlies, in Christ, all the time. Whatever people say about you, whatever they do to you, however unkind you are, they are to you, it does, all that's true, because that's happening to you here, but you, yourself, in reality, spiritually, are in the heavenlies. We are no longer under the dominion of Satan. We are not in his kingdom. We do not belong to him. Now, we're children of disobedience and wrath. We are not them. We are in the heavenlies, not in the realm of Satan. Sin no more hath dominion over us. Satan does not rule us. Now then, the others dwell in sorrows of spiritual darkness. I can remember, I think it was a very good illustration, I've given it surely, by the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones of Romans 6, about where we are. He said, take country, I don't know which is the better to give, his, I think, an island. And this island is in the grip of an evil general, and he has a flag of evil flying. And he is in possession of all the things in that island, like Satan's the prince of this world. But then there comes mercy, either aeroplanes, if you like, imaginary ones and ships and so on. But here comes the general of grace. Christ comes. And Satan is defeated. So there is an exchange of rule. An exchange of rule. One flag comes down and the other flag goes up. From now on, it's a general of grace. But the island takes some conquering or regaining. It's divided into the mind, the memory, the factions, the will, and the conscience. And each one in turn says, well, it's impossible to change the conscience. It's impossible to change my emotions. It's impossible. And then the new general says, yes, it is possible. I will give you the necessary equipment to help you in your thinking, in your feeling, in your decisions, in your direction, in your total attitude. I will help you so that you become an island of grace. Spiritually, you already are completely under a new regime. But you're in this world at the moment, but you are personally, individually, every one of you are under another flag. You're under God. Now then, much of the things in your lives are the ways of the old general, your language, your attitude. But you'll find there's a new language now and a new attitude. You are in Christ. Now, Hebrews 11 gives a long list of men and women of faith. They're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They have no abiding city because their city is in the heavens. That's where I live. Spiritually, I'm there now. That's, if you're a Christian now, that's where you are now. At the moment, we're groveling about in this little, grubby little world. But spiritually, we are in the heavenlies. Now then, to be in Christ, we no longer live under the cloud of Satan. We are in the heavenlies. Remember, the heavenlies is the third heaven. Atmosphere, above, stars. To us, that seems a tremendous thing. But to God is nothing. If he's creator, however big you can contain in your mind of the size of the universe, it is really only a trifle as compared to another dimension. Another dimension. What we forget is that there are other dimensions. We are tied, as little mortals to space and time. God is not. So that's where we live, above space and time, in the heavenlies. Now, the presence of the Christian and its privileges, present time. We are raised up in regard to the resurrection, spiritually ours now. Also, not only belong to the kingdom of God, spiritually we are there now. Our citizenship is in heaven. In Philippians 3, verses 19, you see how this grace goes right through these lovely epistles. In Philippians 3, verses 19 and 20, highlighting the contrast with those who are dead in destruction and whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven. Totally different. We have a citizenship and an increasing awareness of who we are. And as we, as the hymn puts it, march one day nearer home, we become increasingly aware of who I am and that I am able to rise above the circumstances because spiritually I'm already in the perfect place. I'm there and I can draw vast resources, so there's no reason or excuse for me to grovel about. That this citizenship causes us more and more to know that we do not belong here anymore. Our heart's delight and reality is elsewhere. Now, is your heart and delight and reality elsewhere? Now, we know we have interests in this world. We have our families whom we love. We have our houses, which we probably like. And so on, our little trinkets that we have in our homes, the various things that we have. But really, when we are nearing the end of this life, we don't think about things become more and more faded because something else is coming clearer and clearer. And that is who we are and where we belong and our home address. Again, in Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath, not will, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He said, you're there. You're there now. That is your position. So in a time of martyrdom, if they are slaying you or burning you or whatever they're doing to you, you have already been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Colossians 3, verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, your real life. Now then, the man that we were, we're Adamic, now we're in Christ. We belong to the sphere of Christ. We are away from the home now. We are just away from home for a time. I'm just away from home for a time. You are just away from home for a time. God's own purposes, but our home, our citizenship is in heaven. That will not be erased. That's there. That's our position. In new thinking, we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, no longer led by the powerful course of this world, the dominion of Satan, but by the Holy Spirit, increasingly learning this joy of obedience. That is, in the knowledge of this, and whatever our circumstances, rich or poor, sick or healthy, young or old, whatever, increasingly is a knowledge of our great privilege of who we are, what we have, and where we're going, in his presence, in his glory. Heaven is full of his glory. In a realm near to God, we're able to exercise these new rights so freely. We have access to these because we are there. Then in Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly. Now, here is a practicality in this world. Let us therefore come boldly. Why? Because I belong there, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So now he said, whilst you're on this earth, this funny little place and sinful place and warlike place and so on, you're able to draw on what you have in heaven. In the heavenlies, there is Christ. When we pray then, in this way, we enter into the very presence of God. It's a pity we have small prayers. There's a right to make a list. There's a right to pay for your family. But there's a primary right to appreciate and adore God. There should be adoration of God at the beginning of every prayer. There should be repentance for our faith. We repent before we come to Christ, but we continue in repentance all our lives. And if we don't see that, we have not understood the kind of world we are in and the kind of mess that's still in our body that needs to be cleaned up. In Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way into his presence. Now, is your prayer life that? Is it that? Hebrews 12, verse 23, but here I come. Listen to this. This is where we are spiritually. But here I come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You enter there. The most magnificent picture, if you could paint that and make it alive, you say, I'm there. I belong to that general assembly. I am one of those who has been made clean. You come there, we are there. That is a position. In such company, we triumph there. Life of heaven here, we have a glimpse of it. Even here, every now and again, we have a little glimpse of something of the sweeping majesty of the heavenlies. And lastly, the place of the Christian and its authority. We are seated, and that made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, can you imagine now? I think Christ rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and sits on the right hand of God the Father. We are sitting with him. spiritually, we are with him. Here it is. And hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This expression is used in connection with our Lord. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And to us, verse 13, sit on my right hand until I make thee thine enemies thy footstools. To Jesus he's speaking. But we are there. We are there. Spiritually. But this man, after he had offered sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Spiritually, we are there. In him, we are seated there. The meaning of sitting, he has completed the work. Ceased from his labor, then rest. Victory, his enemies, his footstool. He sits victorious. We are there. We are in him, redeemed, complete, called. We were called. We were justified and glorified. Although in a sense, the fullness of that is to come till our death, but spiritually, that has already happened. We rest in Christ. We rest in the finished work of Christ. That it remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. We learn to rest in him. We learn to realize the complete victory in Christ. It's a powerful position of authority. 1 John verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. Listen to this. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Satan is coming at you. Is he coming at you? Not exactly. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, that's Christ, than he that is in the world. So Satan finds that when he comes to you, he has Christ to reckon with. In 1 Peter verse 5:9. The adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. The devil can come as an angel of light, as a minister of righteousness. Well, certainly, you know, that's true in devastation of the churches, and as a roaring lion, where he devours in persecution. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Why? You're in him. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why? You are in him. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We have this authority in us. The authority is because of our position in Christ. We are seated there on God's right hand spiritually now. So when you're going down into the spiritual depressions, whatever it is, or misery, lift yourself up and say, where am I? In Christ, now. Where is that? In the heavenlies, now. Who is for me? Now. He is. Why? Because I am in him. The authority is because of our position in Christ. Our names are inscribed in heaven's register. Our interests are being promoted there. We are being governed by heavenly standards and motivated by heavenly principles. The blessings of heaven constantly descend upon us. Heaven's grace fills our hearts. Its power helps us to be more than conquerors, and to heaven our thoughts aspire and our prayers ascend. So we have mansions there. Mountains of God's grace, glorious pure rivers there. What is this life you have? It is a resurrection life. What is your address? It is a heavenly. What is your position? what is your position? I'm in God's right hand, in my ascended Lord. I am in Christ. When such a Christian prays, that has realized and appreciates all that, it has a deep confidence in his prayer and triumphant. We should not be silent at the prayer meeting. At least we should pray. Better still, if we may share in those prayers, better still. Now then, do you know who you are? Do you know where you are? Do you know your address? And when you think of that, we are beloved of God, and we shall never die. All souls never die, but the vast number are in hell. But the elect, these people, are with him in glory eternally.